CKUT Radio in Montreal interviewed Aziz Chaudhry of the Popular Mobilization Against the WTO and Tom Hansen, an organizer with the Mexico Solidarity Network, currently in Cancun, Mexico, about the grassroots mobilization to confront and oppose the World Trade Organization ministerial meetings, which are set to take place in Cancun from September 10th to 14th. Popular mobilization in opposition to the WTO ministerial meetings, which represents many different sectors, will continue their struggle against capitalism in a variety of ways on the streets of Cancun. Peasants, indigenous and black communities, trade unionists, students, women's movements, and environmental organizations are taking to the streets to oppose the WTO. This mobilization follows a strong resistance of thousands of people who took to the streets of Montreal against the WTO mini-ministerial meetings, which took place at the end of July in the lead-up to the WTO ministerial summit in Cancun. Cancun has been turned into a militarized city, with upwards of 20,000 police on hand to attempt to suppress the massive demonstrations planned to take place in the coming days. There are indications that the coming WTO ministerial meetings are set to fail, given the heavy disagreements of WTO member countries over the agricultural subsidies maintained by G8 nations, which are responsible for crushing many agricultural markets of countries and communities throughout the global south. Those organizing to confront the WTO are also highlighting the link between the WTO's economic policies and the continued displacement and poverty of indigenous people and communities throughout the world. Thousands will be taken to the streets of Cancun to reject the legitimacy of the WTO and call for its abolition. Here is an interview with Aziz Chaudhry of the Popular Mobilization Against the WTO and Tom Hansen of the Mexico Solidarity Network, currently in Cancun, Mexico. You're in Cancun, Mexico currently. Can you describe the situation of the mobilization against the WTO ministerial meetings?
Well, our estimates is that we'll have about 15 or 20,000 protesters down here, probably approximately the same number of police and military forces. The city looks like an occupied city. It's incredible. The Mexican government is literally spending millions of dollars to try and keep civil society as far away from these negotiations as possible.
Now, each World Trade Organization meeting that has taken place, whether it's a ministerial meeting or a mini-ministerial, as we saw here in Montreal at the end of July, has been confronted and opposed by street demonstrations. Maybe, Aziz, can you expand on this resistance movement that we're seeing to the WTO?
Sure. I mean, I think it's also important to know that right around the world at the time of Cancun happening in Mexico, that there are going to be actions going on. I just heard today from a comrade in Thailand that yesterday there were several thousand, mainly small farmers and trade unionists, students and HIV/AIDS activists out on the streets in Bangkok, saying no to the WTO, and the message very clearly coming through from small farmers movements that are linked with the Global Alliance of Small Farmers and peasants movements across the world is that they want the whole question of agriculture to be taken right out of the WTO. They say that there is no place for the WTO to be making rules on life and death issues about agriculture, which is both about people's livelihoods, small farmers' livelihoods, but equally importantly about the rights of communities to determine what kinds of crops they're going to grow, what kinds of decisions they're going to make in that sphere, and not just basically be driven into this kind of one-size-fits-all model of having to grow goods, grow crops for export and not to feed local communities.
Now, Tom, you being in Mexico, there are currently many campesinos and indigenous communities which are organizing to oppose the WTO ministerial meetings. Can you talk about that organization to oppose the meetings within Mexico from your viewpoint right now, and how that relates to specifically the agricultural subsidies that many Western or G8 nations are maintaining within the WTO?
Sure. There's been a series of alternative workshops down here, women's organizations, campesinos, indigenous organizations, workers, each one, environmentalists, each one trying to lay out kind of an intellectual framework for alternatives to this neoliberal model that's promoted by the World Trade Organization. And so far, by far the largest and probably the most important has been the one led by campesinos and indigenous groups. And it's because agriculture is at center stage here in Cancun, with the main issue being the question of agricultural subsidies that are allowed for northern nations, in particular the United States and Western Europe, and in particular in basic grains, and especially corn. And because these heavy government subsidies are permitted under the WTO, basically, large corporations, for example, Cargill and Archer Daniels Midland, which control about 80% of the corn marketing in the United States and about a third of the corn marketing worldwide, they're able to export highly subsidized corn from the United States to Mexico at about a third under the cost of production, which destroys the market for corn for small and medium-sized producers here. And that has an incredible effect on the labor markets, because farmers who used to produce mainly for self-consumption, who sold a small amount of their corn on the local markets as their only source of currency, are now forced to find other sources of currency, to purchase medicines, to buy tools, whatever they can't produce themselves. And so they're forced into the labor market, and many of them are migrating to large cities for 5, 6, 7 months a year. Many of them are migrating to the United States, about 600,000 a year, undocumented workers coming to the United States in search of jobs. So these policies have a dramatic impact, not just on farmers, but also on labor markets throughout the hemisphere.
Aziz, in the resistance that we're seeing to the World Trade Organization ministerial, but more generally to the WTO throughout the world by many communities, especially in the Global South, what is your view in terms of alternatives to this, what is being called neoliberal model of economics and trade? Are these communities, from what you can sense, expressing alternative models of trade and alternative models of maintaining communities around agriculture, but also more broadly?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think one of the big lies of the neoliberal model is that there is no alternative. I mean, we had that from Maggie Thatcher back in the 1980s, and that sort of gets repeated time and time again. And I mean, here in the Americas, it's very clear that in spite of the best efforts of colonial regimes, whether they're, the sort of legacy of the Spanish colonialism or the kinds of colonialism, the sensitive New Age colonialism, so-called, that we have here in Canada, that Indigenous peoples throughout this region, throughout this hemisphere, and throughout the world, have managed to maintain alternative forms of society and alternative ways of running economies, which aren't necessarily about the monetary economy at all. And in some ways, I think you can see one of the reasons why I think Indigenous peoples are considered to be such a threat, such a problem by the sort of the free marketeers, is because they do actually seriously challenge the whole fundamental worldview on which the WTO, the neoliberalism, corporate capitalism, call it what you will, is based. And so rather than sort of advocating for a big, grand, one-size-fits-all alternative to neoliberal globalization, I'd say that I think that the struggles and the resistance that are going on right now to these forms of injustice, economic and social and ecological injustice, that institutions like the World Trade Organization, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, and so on, perpetrate and make worse. I think that out of that resistance, is coming new forms of organizing societies. And I think we've often been a bit conned into thinking, and I think some NGOs buy into this a little bit too, that, you know, we need to come up with this sort of grand scheme of saying, you know, this is the alternative. And in reality, I think what's going to work for, you know, campesino communities in parts of, say, Chiapas is not going to work necessarily in parts of the Pacific or the Philippines or India, but there may well be very similar common themes and common values that are being expressed by people who actually see there to being much more to the world than a view that is based on commodification, capitalism, and colonialism.
Now, Tom, you're in Cancun right now. You mentioned that the city is completely militarized. Now, let's just look back for a second at the last WTO ministerial meetings, which took place in 2001 in Qatar. Now, the United States was riding high, I suppose, in world opinion. After the attacks on September 11th, there wasn't as much of an ability within institutions like the WTO to critique the United States policies within the organizing at the WTO. What's your sense now? The city, Cancun, is militarized. The United States is being heavily critiqued for its bombing of Afghanistan, of Iraq, its continued occupation of both of those countries. So maybe can you expand on these kind of dynamics within the WTO, the United States relationship to the rest of the world, and also the WTO and militarization, and how you feel the two of these things are linked?
Well, there's every indication that these WTO meetings are going to be a failure. And they're going to be a failure largely because northern nations, led by the United States, have a particular set of agendas in these meetings that don't match the needs of southern nations. And the two haven't been able to see eye to eye. And I think as a result of the sort of rampant imperialism on the part of the United States and the undemocratic nature of world political decisions that the United States has made, for example, the invasion of Iraq in contradiction to what the United Nations was saying, for example, it's emboldened southern nations to take on the United States agenda. And so we're seeing a whole series of discussions that are going on that I don't think we're... agriculture, I don't... There's a divide that is not going to be... There can't be... There's no middle ground in this divide. Discussions around tariffs. The United States and other northern nations want to keep tariffs on things that are produced in the South, for example, textiles and steel products. The southern nations want to maintain tariffs on things like high technology and intellectual property, for example, music, because it destroys national industries. The northern nations want to impose or don't want to allow developing nations to use generic drugs to fight things like AIDS. Southern nations, of course, in particular Brazil, has had a very good track record using generic drugs to fight AIDS. So you can just go right down the list, and there's a series of contradictions, and it looks like there isn't going to be any serious agreements on any of these issues.
Aziz Chaudhry, there has been some links developed between the movement which we saw develop this last year, of course expanding on a historical movement against war, links between the anti-war movement and the movements which are opposing institutions like the WTO. Can you expand on how you feel, say, opposing the invasion in Iraq and imposing the World Trade Organization mini-ministerial meetings? How are these two fabrics linked, neoliberal economics and militarization?
Yeah, well, I think they're two sides of the same coin, Stefan. And Central America is a classic example where, you know, corporate interests, globalization, militarization all go together. If you look at Plan Colombia, you can see, you know, the so-called war on drugs is essentially linked very closely to U.S. corporate interests, such as Occidental Petroleum, that essentially through Plan Colombia gets $98 million U.S. dollars as sort of a corporate welfare slash, you know, security to fund military in Colombia to look after their pipeline. If you look at the players that are involved in the so-called reconstruction of Iraq, and you look at some of the main pushes in the corporate world pushing, say, water privatization, you've got Bechtel. You've got Dan Amstutz, who is a former vice president of Cargill, which I think was one of the corporations which Tom mentioned earlier, a very big U.S. transnational corporation, who was also a former negotiator for the US on agriculture in the Uruguay round of the GATT talks, which set up the World Trade Organization in the late 80s. And it's interesting to see some of the stuff that's been going on in the Bay Area in the States. The Direct Action Stop the War people have done quite an impressive job of linking the sort of the war and the corporate globalization stuff together and saying, well, isn't it interesting that you've got this seamless sort of linkage between these sort of companies that are pushing things like privatization of water and so on, such as Bechtel, and are the same people that are in Iraq and pushing for contracts through their mates, through the sort of whole cozy revolving door system between the US administration and the corporate world in the States. But I think the other thing, I mean, other aspects of it are that militarization, I mean, Tom was speaking earlier about the heavy presence of the military and the police state forces in Mexico. I think we can look around the world. We can see here very clearly in Montreal in a different way, perhaps in the end of July, with the heavy police response to protests here against the WTO, that neoliberalism, this agenda can only really be advanced where there is the muscle of the free market economy to back up the economic policies. People are naturally going to, I think, stand up and resist to these inhuman kinds of policies that are actually undermining their lives, undermining their communities. And so what do you do? Well, you beef up the armed forces. And I think we can see that over the last 20 years where there have been so-called, you know, IMF riots in countries in the South, and where there have been, you know, whether it's Seattle or Genoa, or whether it's the four young men that were shot dead in Papua New Guinea just before Genoa, you know, standing up against World Bank imposed privatization programs. And I think some of the biggest defense contractors in the world, the likes of Boeing, Lockheed Martin, all of those corporations, see the neoliberal agenda as a way to make more money. And, of course, that goes hand-in-hand, too, with the sort of the war profiteering, because, you know, we can kind of say that, if you like, you know, war is good for business, for some businesses anyway, and that's the defence contractors. And right now they certainly have the ear of Washington and of other governments around the world that have been engaged in this sickening, you know, war over the last couple of years.
Tom, can you describe some more the situation currently in Cancun? There are thousands of people who are planning to confront and oppose the World Trade Organization ministerial meetings. There's a very heavy police and military presence. What's going on in the city?
Well, there's, as a matter of fact, I think the first demonstration is going to happen today. There's a large demonstration planned for tomorrow led by the Campesino groups. There's another large demonstration planned for Saturday. But, you know, so far what the police are saying and what the local officials are saying, well, federal officials, is that demonstrators won't be able to get within 10 miles of the WTO negotiations. And we, as members of civil society, think that we have an obligation and a right to reclaim the political spaces that are being taken from us by this heavy military presence. I mean, like I said before, there's literally been millions of dollars spent to keep us, civil society, to keep our voices from being heard in the WTO negotiations. And this is, you know, the WTO, the NAFTA, the Free Trade Area of the Americas, all of these are part of the sort of legal political process that establishes the framework for neoliberalism. And then we have the military and police presence, which on an international level we see any country that doesn't buy into this particular neoliberal model is destroyed. And on a national and local level, we see this increasingly in Canada and the United States and here in Cancun, where military and police forces are occupying political spaces, are narrowing social spaces, are closing down democratic spaces, and threatening the very futures of civil society to have a say in things that impact us on a daily basis.
Now, Aziz, here in Montreal, as you mentioned, there was a strong opposition to the World Trade Organization mini-ministerial meetings, which took place at the end of July. In those demonstrations, there was a very strong message that came forth that most of the people taking to the streets were completely rejecting the WTO as an institution. Can you expand on that? People who have been opposing the WTO are calling for an abolition of this institution. What would that mean, and what is the vision behind those kinds of statements?
Well, I think, you know, there have been 3 or 4 years now of these statements that have come out about, you know, sink or shrink the WTO, no new round turnaround, I think they were saying before Seattle, and then, you know, fix it or nix it. And I think we've, you know, people have seen over the last few years that there's no sign whatsoever that the World Trade Organization is going to somehow magically transform into being an organization that is concerned about workers' rights or about the rights of campesinos or about, you know, the environment. That's not what it's about. It's not based on those values. It's based on exploitation of people, of the planet. And within the WTO, I mean, there remain great divisions that are just sort of papered over every so often, rather temporarily, between countries in the global south that have been saying, hang on a minute, you know, we are not getting a good deal out of this, and the US and the European Union and Japan and other countries that are saying, well, you know, yeah, we'll listen to your current concerns, but then turn around and completely ignore them. And I think that, you know, I'm really curious when I hear people, and some NGOs, some organisations do believe that the WTO can be reformed. I'm really curious to understand how that can be, because it's a little bit like expecting a tiger to become a vegetarian or a vegan. That is not what the World Trade Organisation or neoliberal globalisation are about. And so, if we want a world where people's lives and the environment are not based on, are not just commodities to be bought and sold in the marketplace, then we do need to look at basically, I think, opposing and getting rid of not only the World Trade Organization, but also the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, other trade and investment agreements like the FTAA, which is going to be on the cards again in November with the Summit of the Americas happening in Miami, like the Central American Free Trade Agreement, which the US is cutting with 5 or 6 Central American countries, and the bilateral deals, which are just going on right around the world right now, stitching up through a patchwork some very radical free trade and investment agreements at a time when, as Tom said, the World Trade Organization itself is having trouble getting agreements on a lot of key issues. So, I mean, I think that if we need to stand up for the rights of people to for self-determination, which I think is a right that runs fundamentally against what the World Trade Organization and what the big powers, corporate and government powers, that are pushing a neoliberal agenda stand for.
There's no, I don't think there's anybody down here in Cancun or probably anybody in the progressive community who objects to people getting together and deciding on rules and regulations that are going to be for the benefit of everybody to work with. But the WTO is not that format. And I agree completely that the WTO needs to be abolished.
You've been listening to an interview with Aziz Chaudhry of the Popular Mobilization Against the WTO and Tom Hansen of the Mexico Solidarity Network about the global mobilization to confront and oppose the World Trade Organization ministerial meetings, which are set to take place in Cancun from September 10th to 14th. To get more information about the Cancun mobilization, visit www.indymedia.org or the website of the People's Global Action Network at www.agp.org. This report has been produced for CKUT Radio in Montreal by Stefan Christophe.